This afternoon we'll read from the Psalm 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. We know that God will bless his word to our hearts. Are you depressed and despondent? Are you sad and sorrowful? Are you troubled and tearful? Are you fearful and fretting? Are you anxious and alone? I am sure that there is no one listening who has not experienced such emotions. Perhaps even now you are experiencing some of these thoughts and feelings that I have been describing. Today I'm going to talk to you about a man whose experiences may well be similar to yours. He was David, King of Israel. He was a successful warrior. He was a powerful king. He was a beautiful singer. He was a talented musician. This kind of success, however, did not immunize him from depression and sadness. His gift of poetry, however, enabled him to share his thoughts, and they are with us today as we think about the sixth psalm, From Turbulence to Tranquility. Let us think about the turbulence that David experienced. We cannot doubt the depth of David's emotion. He said in the verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. His sorrow was such that he was tired weeping. He was unable to find rest. His bed was swimming and his couch was watered with tears. This immediately poses a question. What was David's problem that caused him such deep anxiety of heart and mind? It may surprise you to discover that his depression had no physical cause. He was not suffering in the body. He had neither been wounded in battle nor had he been inflicted with illness. He was not in sorrow because of the loss of a family member or close friend. While his despondency was not physical, neither was it psychological. He opens up his poem with the words, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He was distressed because his relationship with God had been disrupted. He felt that God was angry with him. He believed that the Lord was chastening him. It was this that made his bed wet with tears. This tells us ever so much about the state of David's soul. Spirituality was his priority. The most important relationship in his life was that between him and his God. When this broke down, he was plummeted into the depths of despair. Where are your priorities today? What do you really care about in life? You may have real physical and material needs in your mind. Perhaps money is tight, there are bills to be paid, the income is not what it used to be, and it is legitimate that such worries should cause us concern. Could it be, however, that there are those of you and your priorities are shallow and superficial? You covet what other people have. You live for the weekend, the pub, the night out. What does your priority say about you? Do they say that you're earthbound, that you have no spiritual depth? God is not in your thinking. He does not appear in your radar. Even those of you who have legitimate concerns in relation to life, if you do not think about God, you have not really got things right, because he needs to come first in all of our thinking. He is the most important priority. Why did David really care about his relationship with God? Because God was his creator. He was accountable to him and had given him ever so much. Therefore, David desired to be on good terms with him and was distressed when barriers existed. Have you a relationship with God? And if not, why are you not troubled? What was going on in David's life that caused him to feel that God had forsaken him? In the verses 2 and 4, he uses a telling and a most important word. The word is mercy. As he prayed, he asked God for mercy. What kind of person needs mercy? One who has wronged another. If you have done nothing worthy of rebuke, you do not ask for mercy. To ask for mercy is an admission that you need to be forgiven. To ask for mercy is to confess that you're undeserving. Mercy is never earned, it is always granted. Therefore, David was confessing his sin. It had separated him from God, and he wanted the mercy of his Creator in order that fellowship might be restored. Sin, now there is a word worth thinking about. Sin is no longer in current language. Adultery has become an affair. Stealing has become fraud, and so the list goes on. Sin is excused. It is glossed over. It is explained. But it is not called sin. When a person develops violent or abusive behaviour, psychologists look for reasons in the background of the individual to explain or excuse the crimes committed. Therefore, prisons have become reform and treatment centres rather than places of punishment. The word sin has become a taboo. The very concept that we are born with a spiritual imbalance which controls all of our actions and thinking is out of step with modern thought. But such a concept is not out of step with the Word of God. The word sin explains what we are. It explains the moral abyss in which this world is found. It explains the corruption that is endemic in man and in our society. We are born sinners. We are sinners. Sin is a falling short of God's standards. As sinners, we are corrupt. This is the real explanation for every crime in the world. David had sinned against God. This troubled him so much that he cried out for mercy. He was not going to rest until he discovered this mercy. Have you wakened up to the fact that you are a sinner in need of God's forgiveness? It is a mercy, the greatest of mercies, that mercy itself is available, and it is available for those who seek God. As David in his troubled mind prayed for mercy, God brought him to a tranquil resting place. He was given a sweet assurance that God heard the voice of his weeping. This is a marvellous use of speech. As he sobbed and shed those copious tears, God heard. When he was so disconsolate that he could not frame words to describe his sorrow, God knew and God cared. The Lord cares more about our state of heart than he does about the words that we use. If you really desire God in your life, he knows, he cares, he takes notice. David said, "The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." God hears our prayers. When you ask God for mercy, he will hear, he will respond. If you ask for mercy today, you will be forgiven. Such is the love of our God. He is faithful. At the close of the psalm, David refers to his enemies. Obviously, at this troubled time, he was threatened by those who would take his life. He felt that this circumstance prevailed because of his sin. He believed that God was punishing him. Perhaps you have felt that God is dealing with you harshly. Perhaps you feel that God is turning against you. Sometimes, however, God allows us to suffer to draw us into stronger faith and greater confidence. As David prayed in his sorrow, he believed that he was forgiven and that God would cause his enemies to be defeated. As he prayed, life became better. The pessimism gave way to optimism. The close of the psalm is such a transformation when compared with the beginning. When you seek God and pray for forgiveness, life will become better. You will discover the abundant life that Jesus Christ has promised. Seek him today for this life. I thank you for listening.